Sultan of Oman, Haitham bin Tariq, is paying a two-day state visit to Iran to boost bilateral relations. Polling stations are closed and vote counting is underway. Turkey's presidential runoff between incumbent Erdogan and opposition leader Kılıçdaroğlu. Dozens of Israeli settlers, heavily guarded by forces, once again break into the Al-Aqsa Mosque in the occupied Al-Quds. Good to have you with us. Now, top story this hour, the Sultan of Oman and the Iranian president have held talks on a range of issues in a bid to further enhance mutual relations. Now, the negotiations followed an official welcoming ceremony in Tehran, where visiting Haitham bin Tariq was formally received by Ibrahim Raisi. The Omani head of state is leading a ranking delegation and is also slated to meet with other senior Iranian officials. The trip is aimed at enhancing cooperation and bilateral relations in different areas. Iran and Oman have maintained cordial ties throughout the years and recently stepped up efforts to strengthen their partnership. Tariq's trip follows President Raisi's official visit to Oman last year. Now, the head of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting, Behman Javeli, has met with Hezbollah Secretary General Said Hassan Nasrallah on his visit to Lebanon. During the talks, Javeli and Nasrallah discussed the responsibilities of the media affiliated with the resistance front, the challenges they face, and how to deal with them. Nasrallah stressed that the resistance media plays a major role in confronting Israeli occupation and the West's hegemonic policies. Javeli has also met with the Speaker of the Lebanese Parliament, as well as the country's culture minister. He's stressed the Iranian radio television's readiness to help improve cultural ties between Iran and Lebanon. Turkey, people are heading back to the polls in the presidential runoff that pits incumbent Recep Tayyip Erdogan against opposition leader Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu. Some 64 million people are eligible to elect their president for the next 5 years. Erdogan is seen as favorite to extend his two decades of rule. He secured more than 49.5% of the ballots in the first round, narrowly missing out an outright victory. Kılıçdaroğlu came second with less than 45%. Erdogan has also secured the endorsement of the third-place candidate, Sinan Oğan. Key election issues are the economy, quake relief operations, and refugees. Okay, now let's go to Istanbul and get an update. Our correspondent, Rashan Saglam, has been there and watching all this. Rashan, tell us about it. Is it going smoothly? What's up?
Yes, as you mentioned, 64 million citizens are eligible to vote in Turkey. And now you said if it's going smoothly, it was going smoothly until an hour from now. A fight broke out in one of Istanbul's districts between supporters inside one of the polling stations, supporters of President Erdogan, and supporters and observers of the elections that are supporting the opposition candidate Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu. And apparently the fight took place when one of the observers of Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, who is a lawyer, wanted to go and check the vote, how it's going in the polling station. However, he did not have an accreditation previously, and he was prevented from the police and supporters of President Erdogan from going inside the polling station, and he was escorted outside of the polling station. A fight, while he was being escorted, a fight broke out between supporters of both political candidates or presidential candidates. However, the police interfered and they broke out the fight. Now, it's mainly going smoothly, as I mentioned, all over Turkey. The High Electoral Committee said that things are going really easily and fast and calmly. And this is, I think, due to the people only having to choose between two candidates, President Erdogan and Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, as we are only in the runoff voting for the presidential election. In the previous round, people had to vote for the presidential election and parliamentary election. However, the parliamentary was already chosen by the people last time. This time we are only seeing the presidential one. The two candidates are, as I mentioned, the People Alliance candidate, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, and the Nation Alliance candidate, Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu. For the first time, the Turkish opposition were able to name one single candidate and agree on him. Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, as per some political analysts and as per his political partners in the CHP, Republican People's Party, have high chances of winning. Just like today, the Istanbul municipality leader or head İmamoğlu, Ekrem İmamoğlu, said that or told Kılıçdaroğlu, we are going to celebrate your victory in Ankara tonight. Just after his vote in Beylikdüzü, this is what he told Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu. Also on the other side, President Erdogan seems to be sure of the win, as after casting his vote with his wife Emine Erdoğan in Üsküdar district in Istanbul, he also told the press that we are heading to Ankara to celebrate with our people, just like we do every year from the balcony of the AKP headquarters in Ankara. Now, of course, Kılıçdaroğlu did cast his vote in Ankara, while Erdogan casted his vote in Istanbul, and he is also heading to Ankara. So both leaders and candidates will be following the results from Ankara. As I mentioned previously, Ankara, Izmir, and Istanbul have the highest number of votes. People are nearly 90% in those three cities voting today. However, in other villages, in other cities, in other provinces, the number is not as high as Ankara, Istanbul, and Izmir. I think that the competition in those cities is higher usually. In Istanbul, 6 million people are eligible to vote. In Ankara, 4 million people are eligible to vote. And those are the biggest cities where people, or the most dense cities where people vote in Turkey, and the most important ones actually for both the opposition and the ruling party, of course. Now, also, we have to mention that the youth are mainly supporting the opposition candidate, speaking to people, mainly young people. When asking them, who are you voting for, they mainly say that they are voting for Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu. And when asking why, they say that they want more freedoms in the country, better economy, that's why they support him. And when asking people who are a little bit older, not voting for the first time, they say that they are supporting President Erdogan because they want stability in the country.
I see. Okay, we'll have to wait and see. Thank you so much for that, Rashan Saglam, our correspondent in Istanbul. Now, moving on, tens of thousands of people have yet again, for the fifth month, flocked the streets of Tel Aviv protesting Prime Minister Netanyahu's proposed judicial overhaul. The consecutive weekly protests have seen some success in that the plan has not been approved as quickly as Netanyahu had hoped. But it seems that the Prime Minister and his far-right cabinet remain committed to pushing through the changes, despite being under immense pressure both at home and abroad to scrap the plan. Netanyahu agreed to delay the overhaul to try to negotiate with the opposition a middle ground, but after a shift in focus to passing the annual budget last week, the highly contested plan is again at the forefront. Economists have warned that an independent court system is crucial and that a plan would further isolate the Israeli regime internationally. Now, anti-war activist Richard Becker joined us earlier, and he told us why Netanyahu's far-right cabinet is so adamant to push through the reform plan.
If they do not go through with the plan, if the plan does not pass, or if it's not ratified by the Knesset, the parliament, then the coalition government that presently exists will collapse. This extreme right-wing government that has actual fascists in it is built on the idea that they can go forward with plans to annex the West Bank and other territories as well and dispossess more of the Palestinian population. But again, the big problem here is that today, in what was the British Mandate or colony of Palestine, the Palestinian population and the Israeli population are about the same. The Palestinian population is probably a little bigger. But whether they live in West Bank or they live in Gaza or they live inside the 1948 borders of Israel, all in different forms, but all of this Palestinian population suffers under a form of apartheid. And as for long as that issue is not addressed, and so far the protests have not addressed that and have avoided it and even suppressed people with Palestinian flags coming to the demonstrations, unless that changes, I don't think there can be any real change in the state of Israel.
Dozens of Israeli settlers, heavily guarded by forces, have broken into the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in the Akbar al-Quds and performed rituals there. This is not the first time that the settlers stormed a mosque that's revered by Palestinians and other Muslims as an Islamic holy site. Since 2003, the regime has allowed settlers into the compound almost on a daily basis. Now, Palestinians dismiss the settlers' presence at the mosque as provocative. Tensions have been running high between Palestinians and Israeli settlers over the latter's trespassing on the holy site. Israel captured East Al-Quds, where the Al-Aqsa Mosque is located, in 1967. Ukraine says the Russian troops have temporarily eased attacks in and around the flashpoint city of Bakhmut to regroup and strengthen their capabilities. Now, Russia says its forces have completely taken over the city, but Kiev says it still controls pockets of Bakhmut. The battle for the city has been the longest and bloodiest in the war. The capture would bring Russia slightly closer to its goal of controlling the whole Donetsk region. Meantime, Ukraine says it will soon launch a highly anticipated counteroffensive. Ukrainian defense officials say that the push could start as soon as tomorrow or ultimately by the end of the week. Ukraine says the offensive aims to recapture territory taken by Russia since the beginning of the war. Now, according to Ukraine, at least one person has been killed and another injured after Russia unleashed a major two-wave overnight air attack on Kyiv. Several districts of the capital, by far the largest Ukrainian city with a population around 3 million, suffered in the overnight attacks. According to the mayor, the raid was conducted by drones, who says that air defense systems downed at least 20 unmanned aircraft. Moscow has intensified missile and drone strikes on Kyiv this month after a lull of nearly 2 months targeting military facilities and supplies. Tens of thousands of Serbs have taken to the streets of Belgrade in an anti-government protest over two mass shootings that killed 18 people. Now, the crowd surrounded a compound housing the state broadcaster, calling for the resignation of the Serbian president. They also demanded more media freedom. That was the fourth such protest organized by opposition parties. They accused the government of failing to rein in media that have promoted violence and to act against criminal elements in society. The government denies opposition parties' allegations, accusing them of staging protests for political gains. On the 3rd of May, a young boy killed 9 students and a security guard in Belgrade in the first mass shooting in Serbia. A day later, a 21-year-old man killed 8 others outside the city. Now, Britain's health minister says the government will not hold talks on pay with the nurses' union as it's gearing up for new strikes. Steve Barclay says negotiations will continue, but not on the amount of pay. The government has adhered to its April offer for a lump payment plus a 5% raise for the current year. But the Royal College of Nursing, which represents nurses, has rejected the offer. The union says health staff must be paid fairly. The RCP is already balloting its 300,000 members on further industrial action. Nurses and other health staff have staged highly disruptive rolling strikes over wages amid raging inflation. The government has responded by imposing curbs on the length of the strike. At least 3 people have been killed and several others injured in clashes between Iranian troops and Taliban forces along the border between Iran and Afghanistan. According to Iranian media, 2 border guards were killed and 2 others injured after Taliban forces opened fire at a checkpoint along the border with Afghanistan. Taliban officials say that one of their forces was killed and another one was wounded. They say that the situation is now under control. The Iranian police chief has ordered border guards to, quote, bravely and resolutely defend the country against anyone trying to trespass or approach the borders. The police chief has also warned Afghan authorities are responsible for any action that's unwise and a violation of international law. And that brings to the end of this newscast from Tehran. Thank you for being with us.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, May 28, 2023. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views and outlooks are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages from around the world. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Please tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. As I always say, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program, and here we've received reception reports from around the world. From Maxim Mikhailichenko from Russia, Ayush Kumar Das from India, and Mate Holosi from Hungary. So, Maxim, Ayush, and Mate, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Thank you for the reception reports. And of course, we've received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails. From Brazil, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, from Robens Fras Pedroso. Ayush Kumar Das from India has sent us an email. From Hungary, we've received an email from Mate Holosi. From India again, we've received an email from Sia. And the last but not the least is an email from Italy from Maurizio Vecchi. Stay with us, please. I will be back with these emails. Welcome back. So as I said, from Brazil, we've received an email from Rubens Fras Pedroso. So let's see what Rubens says. Hello, my dear friends. I hope you're doing well. I'm sending you more reception reports from Brazil. I would like to receive your station's QSL card if possible. Until the next contact, all the best wishes for all. Salam and warm greetings to you. And thank you very much for this email. I think in Brazil, which is located in southern hemisphere, the weather is a little cool. It's cooler than what we are experiencing in the northern hemisphere. So why don't you tell us about the weather and your experiences in your country, Rubens Pedroso from Brazil. We would be glad to hear that. Anyway, appreciations to you for the reception reports you send to IRIB English Radio, as well as your email. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL as confirmation, Rubens Fras Pedroso from Brazil. Anyway, we wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And of course, we are waiting for more emails and messages and your views about IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best, Rubens Fras Pedroso from Brazil. From India, we have an email from Ayush Kumar Das. Ayush says, dear sir or madam, I want to say that the reception report is enclosed to this email. Please find and issue a QSL card or EQSL to verify them. Also send me some new programs guide and some beautiful postcards. I hope you will send me a letter soon as possible with a new QSL and picture postcards. Thanks and best regards. Salam to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Ayush Kumar Das from India. Please accept our warm gratitude to you for this email. For your information, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio at the current moment is not possible, so please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL as confirmation to your email. And you can find our programs guide and the frequency guide at our website at parstoday.ir/en. Anyway, we wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Ayush Kumar Das from India. And after a short break, I will be back with you. So let's see what Mate Holosi from Hungary says. Mate Holosi is one of our old and regular listeners. Mate says, dear IRIB, I'm writing to you in order to share my reception report from the city of Debrecen, Hungary. Reception wasn't the clearest at the start of the program. At the beginning, the program was clearly hearable. I'm a regular listener of your radio station. Your radio station helps me to get to know more about your country. If you think that my report was helpful and you liked it, I would very much like a QSL card sent to my address. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran to Mate Holosi from Hungary. Please accept our warm appreciations to you for this great email. Thank you very much for letting us know about the trouble you had regarding the quality of the reception. But don't worry, please. because our technicians and engineers will fix the problem about the quality of the reception if the problem is on our behalf. We are so happy to receive this great email from you, Mata Holosi from Hungary, and we are glad to hear that IRIB English Radio is a good source to get to know more about the Islamic Republic of Iran for you, Mata Holosi. Thank you. So write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Mata Holosi from Hungary. Thank you. Again, from India, we've received an email, this time from Sia. Sia says, "Dear staff, I will be grateful if you send me a QSL verifying my reception report enclosed to this email. Please send a letter or a card where you include a specification that I have really heard your station. I will thus have an evidence of having heard your station here in my country. Your QSL card is very important to me. Thanks." Salam and greetings to you, Sia from India, and thank you very much for this email. Of course, Sia from India, we will send you an EQSL or electronic QSL as confirmation to your email. We wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, and we are waiting to hear more about your views about the broadcast of IRIB English Radio. Sia from India, thank you again. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. From Italy, we've received an email from Maurizio Vecchi. Maurizio says, "Dear friends of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, here is my report on reception of Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. I would appreciate if you can check out your station log. If my report is correct, I would be grateful to receive in return your station QSL card with the time, date, frequency of this report mentioned on it. The broadcast in English and the presenter was talking about Iran's news, a country I love. I've been there 3 times and I would like to travel again anytime. Thank you for taking time to read my email from Italy. Yours sincerely." Salam. Greetings to you. Ciao, Maurizio Vecchi from Italy. Please accept our appreciations to you for this email. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL as confirmation to your email. And you mentioned that you've been to Iran 3 times. That's so great. So, as a suggestion, Maurizio Vecchi from Italy, why don't you share your experiences of your journey to Iran with our, great listeners around the world? We would be very glad if you could share your experiences in your upcoming emails about your being in Iran and your journeys to Iran, because you said you've been in Iran 3 times and it's great. So let us know your experiences in Iran. So Maurizio Vecchi from Italy, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So we had a really great time together, and saying goodbye is hard. So before saying goodbye, I do send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters, including Maxim Mikhailochenko from Russia, Ayush Kumar Das from India, Mata Holosi from Hungary, Robin Feras Pedroso from Brazil, as well as Maurizio Vecchi from Italy and Sia from India. Please keep in touch with Listeners Special and IRIB English Radio and tell us your views about our programs. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers, sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program For Humanity. We are looking at bad human traits, traits that if we indulge in, it can get us in a lot of trouble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also with our peers, with our fellow human beings. That's something that the Quran and the Sunnah of the Ahlul Bayt try to stop us from doing. So sometimes it is worth noting that we need to avoid and leave certain traits behind. Among these bad traits or bad deeds is the fact that human beings are always hasty, which is ajala. And I think we have discussed this notion of hastiness, but today we want to see how we can put an end to it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, constantly when He describes the human beings, He describes them with the fact that they are always hasty, always doing things, you know, without thinking. خُلَقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Man was created from hastiness. كَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرُ شَيْئًا. This. كَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. كَانَ الْإِنسَانُ. Every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tries to talk about human beings, He looks at the fact that they are always hasty and they don't take things slow. Now, the problem with hastiness is that the person himself will get himself in trouble because, and this is just not only in talking but also in actions. When a person jumps to an action without thinking it through, without trying to figure out what Allah wants him or what even logic wants him to do, they will surely do mistakes. They will surely get themselves in trouble. And that's the fact that we have to keep in mind. So when I'm dealing with my other fellow human beings, And sometimes we judge each other very quickly. Sometimes we hasten to a conclusion. And sometimes we might accuse the person for the wrong thing. And we do a lot of mistakes based on that. And sometimes we might accuse a person of doing something they haven't done. And then we end up regretting, and regret won't do us any good. So there's a lot of harm that can be done once a person is in a state of hurry, in a state of trying to do things as quick as they can. So we have to keep in mind that this is a bad trait that we need to get rid of. So since the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Ahadith have spoken about this trait, then we need to make sure that we stop it and we don't indulge in it. And hastiness itself is the opposite of slow, is opposite of taking things slowly. From an Islamic perspective, when we look at hastiness and ajala, they describe it as doing something before its time. So when we do something before its time, then it's a premature action. It's a premature word. It's a premature argument. Because you just jumped to conclusion without having to realize. And we see that one of the main reasons that people misunderstand each other and there's a breakdown in communication is due to the fact that they jump to conclusions and jump to actions before it's time. While if they have waited, thought about something, and contemplated about it and understood it correctly, then they wouldn't be in this problem to begin with. So we have to keep that in mind. Let us take a short break, and then we will come back right after this.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. So we're looking at the bad trait of hastiness. So obviously the answer is, how do we control things when it comes to us jumping to straight arguments and straight judging and what have you, just being in that mental state of trying to do everything quickly and, you know, without having to hit the brakes. One of the methods is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me and you is the notion or the concept of patience. A mu'min always need to be patient. And patience means that you hold yourself, you compose yourself, you wait, you understand, you think. Because patience is not just a concept that you throw around. It's a concept that you need to apply. So we're having an argument, me and you, and I'm trying to convey something to you, but you just jump into conclusion and then you accuse me, or I do the same. You know, patience means that I hold my anger, I hold my temptations, I hold my urge to talk, whatever that needs to be done or I feel like doing at the moment, I pause on it. This is what we call patience. So patience is one of the things that need to be done and taken into consideration. Another thing that we can do is we can have what we call a 1 minute delay. 1 minute delay method means that every time you want to do something or say something, pause
Say to yourself, I will answer, I will reply, I will do this action, but after a minute. In that minute, give yourself time to think of what happened, what is happening, and what is the best way to deal with, without just jumping and, you know, going with the urge to talk and speak your mind. So obviously this is always something that we should not indulge in. So we are always, when we give ourselves that 1 minute to break, when we think about it, we can come up with a better answer, a better reply, and a better action. That's the idea. So you can apply a 1 minute rule. You can make it 2. The more you give it time, the better. It says that one of the mystics and one of the scholars that we have, I don't want to mention his name, that when they ask him a question, he never replies. He would pause. And actually first he would say, Allahu A'lam, God knows. And then he would pause for a while. And he would think. And then he would give the answer. And the answer is precisely is a correct answer. He could have just said it. But he started to think himself, what if I'm wrong? What is the best way to deliver this answer? What is the best thing to say? And he thinks it through, and then he talks. This is what a wise, logical man needs to do. And this is something that me and you, we can do as well. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen on Friday, 26th of May, issued a new letter to Congress estimating that the U.S. government won't be at risk of running out of money to pay all its bills until 5th of June, slightly later than the agency's previous estimate of 1st of June. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The national broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. President Biden told reporters on Friday, 26th of May, that he hopes they will have evidence by the end of the night of a debt ceiling deal between the White House negotiators and House Republicans. With regards to the debt limit, things are looking good, President Biden told reporters on the White House South Lawn. I'm very optimistic, he said. I hope we'll have some clearer evidence tonight before the clock strikes 12 that we have a deal, but it's very close and I'm optimistic. Asked to repeat himself over the roar of Marine One, the president said he's hopeful we'll know by tonight whether we're going to be able to have a deal. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's negotiating team and the White House's negotiating team have been meeting virtually and in person for days, trying to hammer out disagreements between the parties. Shortly before the president spoke, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen shifted the estimated X date, which marks when the U.S. will begin to be unable to pay its bills, to 5th of June. Janet Yellen's letters to Congress since January have estimated that the Treasury would have insufficient resources to satisfy the government's obligations in early June and, with the benefit of additional data on outlays and receipts, the Treasury Department is now able to make a more specific estimate of 5th of June. Lyle Brainard, director of the National Economic Council, said in a statement on Friday evening, negotiators have made progress towards a reasonable bipartisan budget agreement in recent days, and The secretary's letter underscores the urgent need for Congress to act swiftly to prevent a debt default. The risk of default continues even in the event of a deal, with time running short. Many congressional members are out of town for the Memorial Day holiday, and it will take time to pass legislation through both chambers of Congress. The national broadcaster ABC News has also covered this story. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen on Friday, 26th of May, issued a new letter to Congress estimating that the government won't be at risk of running out of money to pay all of its bills until 5th of June, slightly later than the agency's previous estimate of 1st of June. Based on the most recent available data, we now estimate that the Treasury will have insufficient resources to satisfy the government's obligations if Congress has not raised or suspended the debt limit by 5th of June, Janet Yellen wrote. Republicans questioned Yellen's methodology and some accused her of manipulative tactics. 5th of June, Yellen said it was 1st of June earlier this week. Republicans won't be intimidated by her manipulation tactics, tweeted Representative Andy Biggs. Will the media join our effort to demand Janet Yellen show her work? I have been asking for 3 months, said Representative Bob Good. As he headed to Camp David on Friday evening, President Joe Biden sounded optimistic about negotiations and hopeful that more progress will come into the night. There's a negotiations going on right now. I'm hopeful we'll know by tonight whether we are going to be able to have a deal, Biden said. Things are looking good. I'm very optimistic. I hope we'll have some clear evidence tonight before the clock strikes midnight that we have a deal, but it's very close and I'm optimistic, he added. Representative Patrick McHenry, a key Republican negotiator, agreed with President Biden's comments that a deal was very close. I would concur, Patrick McHenry said on his way into Speaker Kevin McCarthy's office on Friday night. Everybody wants to look for the white smoke. We're not in that stage yet. So you have to have an agreement on the agreement, which is like the complicated part. You all know waiting around, for you know the final bit of agreement is the hardest, longest wait, and why we have all these gaps. We have to go to work through language, McHenry said. Patrick McHenry said, President Biden's remarks are a hopeful sign to me that I've really used that term in the last 12 days that I've been involved in this. So hopeful signs that the president is saying those things that tells me his White House team might be in a better disposition than what we've seen in the previous days. The update buys much needed time for negotiators to hammer out a deal to raise the debt limit and avoid a disastrous default. The so-called X date, when the US will run out of funds to be able to pay all of its bills in full and on time, has been fluid based on daily federal tax revenues and expenditures. Lawmakers left Washington for Memorial Day recess with no deal in hand. Kevin McCarthy and President Biden in recent days have said progress is being made, but there is still no final compromise between the two sides. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story. Unless Congress raises the debt ceiling, the US will run out of money to pay all of its bills by 5th of June, the Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said on Friday, 26th of May, as Democratic and Republican negotiators struggled to reach a deal. Failure to raise the debt ceiling could trigger a default that could wreak havoc on the economy, on the US economy and the global markets. Janet Yellen's announcement gives negotiators a little more time to come to an agreement. Patrick McHenry, one of the Republican negotiators, said they could meet the 5th of June deadline. We're not done, but we're within the window of being able to perform this, and we have to come to some really tough terms, he told reporters. President Biden told reporters he thought the negotiators were very close to a deal. Things are looking good and I'm very optimistic, President Biden said. Talks had been reported to be close to conclusion as lawmakers sought to avoid a disastrous and unprecedented debt default. Wall Street and European shares rose as the White House and congressional Republicans worked on the final touches of a package to present to Congress. Negotiators appear to be nearing a deal to lift the limit for 2 years and cap spending, with agreement on funding for the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, and the military. The Reuters news agency quoted a U.S. official as saying, but a White House official told the same outlet talks could easily slip into the weekend. Lawmakers were placed on call after leaving Washington for the Memorial Day holiday. Any agreement would have to win approval in the Republican-controlled House of Representatives and the Democratic-led Senate before President Biden could sign it into law.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, oh I and lovers for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is about what we should do when we go to a place which is very fearful and very frightening, and we're afraid of going there. In this hadith, the Imam provides us with a practical solution. He presents us with a dua and a prayer that we can recite whenever we fear something and whenever we are afraid of going somewhere. Let's say that you're going for a job interview and you're afraid, or you just say you're going, you have to travel to a certain place, and let's say you're driving there and the weather is not good and you're afraid. Or let's say that you're going to, let's say that you're a child and, I don't know, you're on a basketball team and you're going to go play a team which is very, a lot better than your team. You're going to visit them in their hometown. So what can you do in these situations? The Imam provides us with a practical solution in the form of a beautiful prayer. And it's ironic that this prayer is a verse of the Holy Quran. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, "If you enter a place which you fear, then recite this verse. My Lord, admit me with a worthy entrance, Rabbi, adkhilni mudkhala sidqin, and bring me out with a worthy departure, wa akhrijni mukhraja sidqin, and render me a favorable authority from yourself, wa ja'alni min ladunka sultanan nasira," meaning help me and give me power over this unfavorable situation, so that I can come out of it victorious. Then in the end of the hadith, the Imam, he says something else. He says, if you see someone who you fear, see that you see somebody who fears, the oppressive person, a person who you feel might harm you, the Imam says, then you can recite the Ayatul Kursi, famous, the verse of the throne, the verse of Ayatul Kursi. This is a good repellent of this danger. Also, in a general sense, and in a general solution to, what should we do when we fear certain things? Imam Ridha alayhi salam has been narrated as having presented a very practical solution to this problem. He says, "Whoever does not fear Allah with regards to small matters will not fear Allah with regards to large matters." I think we should fear Allah in all situations and not be afraid of anything else or any other person or situation besides Allah Ta'ala. And Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "The one who does not frighten anyone will never fear." If we do not act oppressively to others and do not frighten them, then we ourselves will not fear anything in any situation. Imam Ali alayhi salam has also been narrated as having said, "If you fear the difficulty of a situation, be hard and firm in front of it, and it will lower in difficulty for you, and wittingly deceive the problems of the age, and they will become easy for you." Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at practical solutions in the face of our fears, in the words of the A'imma alayhimus salam, and specifically Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma